This is Jody Apple.
Our theme again this week is Jesus Loves Me. We see that theme reflected in the children's song by the same name. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And the refrain, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Two very quick observations about this song and the thoughts that are contained within it. The expression, for the Bible tells me so, indicates, first, the fact that Jesus loves all mankind. But second, that expression, for the Bible tells me so, also tells us about the extent, that is, the depth or the intensity of the love that Jesus had for all mankind. We need to understand that Christ's love for us is relational. That is, it is related to the Father's love for the Christ. It is related to the Christ's love for the Father. It is related to the love that both Christ and the Father had for the apostles. And it is related to the love that the apostles had for both the Christ and the Father. Because of all of these other relationships, the biblical text tells us that God loved the apostles. But we need to understand not just that he loved the apostles, but how and how much he loved the apostles. The biblical text tells us that the Father and the Son loved the apostles with the same degree and the same intensity that they loved each other. And it's that same degree and same intensity of love that they not only had for each other, and that they not only had for the apostles, but that they continue to have for all those who follow their will. Today's lesson will continue our overview of 8 different aspects of divine love. A divine love that started in the very nature of God, but that divine love that must also be found to be returned, to be reciprocated, and to be reflected in God's people, towards God the Father and towards God the Son, but ultimately toward all of God's creatures made in His image, namely, all of humanity. Let's get started in our review of these thoughts. In the book of John, we understand that the text talks about God's love for the world, man's love for the world, not a good love, the Father's love for the Son, the Son's love for the Father, mankind's love for both the Father and the Son, Jesus' love for mankind, Jesus' teaching about the disciples' love, and finally, the Father's love for mankind. Concerning the love that Jesus had for man, we need to understand that the instructions we are about to read was given first to the disciples, to the apostles in the first century, but that second, that it also has application for the disciples and followers throughout the rest of time, throughout the rest of history. So when Jesus was teaching about the disciples' love, it applied to those people first in that time that they were to love each other as Christ loved them. But it also applies to us as we are His disciples, as we are His followers, that we are also to love each other as Christ loved them and continues to love us. Let's think then about Jesus' teaching concerning the disciples' love. Watch what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Notice this. The degree to which the Son loved the apostles, as I have loved you, he says, that's the sort of love that you must also have for one another. And when people see that sort of love that the Father had for the Son and the Son had for them, that they also have for one another, when people witness that, they will know that they, those who practice that love, are His disciples because they have love for one another. Notice in John chapter 15, verse 9 and verse 10. Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. abide in my love. Notice also, we noticed before that it's not enough for us just to love God generally, but to love God specifically by keeping His will. Jesus loved the Father very broadly, very generally, obviously, but also very specifically. Watch again when He said, "As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you, the apostles, keep my, Christ's commandments, then you, the apostles, will abide in my love." Watch this. "Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." What Jesus expected the apostles to do, and what he expects us by extension to do today, is what Jesus already did. In John 15, verses 12, 13, and in verse 17, we see additional teaching about the disciples' love, the love that Jesus wanted them to demonstrate for each other and for the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. These things I command you, that you love one another." Notice again, it's not just enough that they love generally, but they love God specifically by surrendering their will to His. But also, as Jesus taught them about the love that they were supposed to have, it's not enough just to surrender to God. You cannot surrender to God and keep His commandments except that you also love each other. Notice again, "These things I command you," John 15, 17, "that you love one another." John 17, 26, "And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." The love that the Father and the Son was to be in them and reflected in their lives. Let's consider a few additional passages in which love for others is taught. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 34, we read this, "The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Notice, they were to demonstrate love not only for each other, that is, those whom they loved naturally, those who were their kinsmen, those who were like them in faith and in practice and so forth, but even those who are foreigners or strangers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 9. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." 1 Peter 2, 17. "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." 1 John 3, verse 10. "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." The same context, verse 17. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Notice this passage. We noticed it already once in another setting. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Verse 8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And the next verse as well, verse 9, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. We must love God, not just generally, but specifically by submitting to His will. We must love each other, not just generally, but specifically but specifically, in this context of 1 John 4, by meeting each other's needs. Thank you so much for listening today.